Welcome back to RBP. It is me, Ross Bolin, back again with Jared Borislow for another action-packed podcast that will leave you sweaty with laughter and arousal. Jared, on the way to the office this morning when my Lyft driver was turning onto, how is it even pronounced now? Manchac?
Well, it's spelled Manchaca. It is pronounced...
It was spelled Manchaca.
It was.
Then they changed the spelling to Menchaca.
Yes.
Which is apparently the correct Native American spelling for that word.
I believe it was the name of a Mexican-American general in some sort of war. It's kind of unclear, and they do a really bad job of like educating us about why they're making the change, which a lot of people were like, I'm never calling it Manchaca. It's called Manchac.
Yeah, every once in a while I still get a driver who's like, I won't say it that way. And I'm like, okay.
Thank you, sir. I didn't ask.
Fucking A, man. Okay, so not Native American.
But it's, yeah, it's you say Manchac. It's a very
right.
Weird Austin thing.
Right. So we're turning onto Manchac, and this dude's GPS goes, turn right onto Mancock Road. And when I started cracking up, the dude didn't even flinch. Like, he had either heard it 1,000 times and it wasn't funny to him anymore, or the language barrier prevented us from enjoying the humor together. But either way, I need every GPS to say Manchac that way. We go down the street every day to get to work, and I'm often in a Lyft or an Uber, so I'm just saying that would bring me joy. Mancock Road.
Mancock Road.
Yeah, this episode of RBP is brought to you by Felix Gray, the greatest glasses company in the world. 5 years ago, Felix Gray realized our eyes weren't meant to look at screens all day, and they designed glasses to make daily screen time more comfortable and the workday more productive. I have several pairs, the Faraday frames, the Nash frames. My newest pair are called the West. I've got a pair on my face every single night. I've been wearing glasses since I was 12 years old. These aren't just any glasses. They're special blue light glasses that protect your ojos from all the bad things screens bring. Screens, Jared, we cannot live without them, but they are burning our fucking eyes out day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, and that's where Felix Gray steps in and saves all of our fucking lives. There are a lot of blue light glasses on the market, but to lump all blue light glasses together is like lumping Honda Civics and Teslas together as cars. Most clear blue light lenses filter 2 to 3% of blue light from screens. Felix Gray, 15 times more filtration. So get yourself a pair of glasses made for the 21st century and designed for modern, hardworking eyes. You have nothing to lose, except maybe eye strain. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/RBP for the best blue light glasses on the market today. That's felixgrayglasses.com/RBP. Free shipping, free returns, free exchanges, felixgrayglasses.com/RBP. Love me some Felix Gray.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, I was minding my business over the weekend when I noticed one of the most famous gamers in the world, professional streamer and gamer, Nick Merckx, as he is known, decided to wear one of the worst outfits I have ever seen on a human being in public by choice. So,
the event, by the way, was his barbecue. He put on
he has some kind of annual event, a barbecue of some kind for all his fans and family and sponsors.
Where I'm from.
And I think it was at the Rays baseball stadium, possibly.
It's at the Yankees spring training stadium, George Steinbrenner Field, which is across the street from Raymond James Stadium in
Not
Tampa.
Not quite cool enough to get the actual Tampa Bay Stadium, huh? So I asked him a simple question because I saw the outfit. He's posting it all over social media, right? And Nick's a very famous person. Probably one of the more famous Americans in pop culture in 2021. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, what the fuck are you wearing? I was like, what is this? He looked like a 2012 NBA rookie showing up to a game like thinking he's fly because the clothes he's wearing are designer. But in fact, he looks like he was dressed by the kid from the 1999 Adam Sandler film Big Daddy. Like, just because the shorts are Versace or whatever they were doesn't mean you can just put them on and not put any thought to, like, what you have as a shirt or shoes. And then just generally, I guess you can't fix his face. But the rest of him looks stupid as hell. And the outfit was, it was one that I at least wanted an explanation for. And here's the thing. I get it. I've said many times on this show, we just recently talked about fashion. Everybody's allowed to wear whatever they want. You don't need anybody's permission to dress like a moron. But when people come at me for my clothes, like, I'm comfortable with who I am and what I wear, so I have a response. If I ask you, what the hell are you wearing? And your answer is whatever the fuck I want.
Which he responded to you on Twitter with.
Then I know you're not comfortable in those clothes. So, first of all, dude is just generally a meathead. Everybody knows that. He's a meathead. Jared, you're not a huge fan of Merckx, is that true?
I'm a really big fan of Cloaksy, who plays with Nate Merckx all the time. So if I'm ever watching, like, Twitch, it's most of the time Cloaksy, who plays with Nate Merckx.
Right, I'm a big Tim the Tatman fan.
So you
watch
Tim.
Who, by the way, had an incredible outfit this event.
Pantera shirt.
Beautiful.
Coach bag, I believe, a purple Coach purse.
Couldn't tell if that was his wife's or if he's a baller. Either way, he's a baller. But he looked great.
Yeah, and Cloaksy looked great as well. He had a Supreme shirt on.
He did.
He had some very nice shoes.
Good fit. Good fit. And then there was Nick, the host of the event, who looked like a clown. And I'm just saying, like, money doesn't make you cool. Most people with money don't know how to spend it. And Nick is new money. I get that. But somebody on this dude's team didn't tell him he looked like an idiot, or he told them to go fuck themselves when they did. I think it's probably the latter, but I'm just saying, Nick, take the advice of your people and those around you and your wife, and let them put together your outfits, because you're not capable of doing it yet, and that's okay. There was many, many, many years of my life. I'm not sure how old Nick is. I was probably 27 before I learned how to dress myself properly. So I've only been doing that for about 7 years now. I get it. It's hard picking out big boy clothes in the morning.
You used to dress like absolute trash.
Oh, fucking hey, Jared.
You would put on like a Southern Tide polo and like Vineyard Vines shorts.
Not a single time. Just want to go ahead and correct you. Never worn a Southern Tide polo in my life, but go ahead.
Well, you put on a Southern brand polo.
Brooks Brothers.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Or just regular polo.
And some chino shorts and some Sperry's, and you called it a day, every day. You
were
called
JNCOs,
it a life.
Not chino shorts. JNCOs. Yeah, but in high school, I was a notoriously shitty dresser, too. I wore a Memorial Ashford Little League All-Star 1998, 1997, 1996, 1999, and this is not to brag and say that I was a stellar athlete as a child, although I was. It's to say that I didn't know how to pick clothes, so I just wore Little League t-shirts with basketball shorts every day, which was problematic because, as many of you know who are men with penises, in high school, you often achieve erection without volunteering it, and basketball shorts are not great for that. It's just a side note about my penis when it was in high school.
Yeah, my biggest worry here about you calling out Nick Merckx or how he dresses.
Yeah, I can see you're concerned, but it's like, what? Why are you scared of this guy?
Well, all he has to do is go, hey, at WR Bolin on Twitter, I've looked at your co-host, and he dresses worse than me on every episode you ever do.
Yeah, but first of all, I disagree.
There's like 8 episodes where I'm wearing a free shirt I got from Chili's.
I would say y'all are at the same level of dress. And here's why that's problematic for him. Because you're not worth like 30 mil with a team of people around you helping you look cool every day.
It's a fair point.
He literally is. So if everybody else around you is dressed dope and you look like a man boy with money, you've made a mistake. Anyway, you're good, Jared. I love the way you dress. Your fashion sense is impeccable.
Until I make more money, then you won't.
That's what I'm saying. It's not about money, though. But God help us when you get money and are able to buy whatever you want. Because we already saw what happened with that one t-shirt.
Oh, the Bone Zone t-shirt?
If he had worn that tee that you bought or got people to buy for you, the $100...
Mm-hmm. Robert Graham
t-shirt, he would have looked better than he did in whatever the fuck that was. Should have worn a Cuts.
Yeah, you know? I will say, like, I am not somebody who can speak on fashion. Like, I think I actually...
I'm not really either. That's how fucking bad his outfit was. Like, that's how bad it was. I'm not out here picking nits on how dudes dress. It was so comically shitty that I had to comment on it. And then the bigger point of the segment isn't even about the outfit. It's that he came at me. So what the fuck are you wearing? He said, whatever the fuck I want.
I mean, kind of good for your clout, though.
That it was huge for me on Twitter. It was awesome. I gained a shit ton of followers. I'm looking forward to having bigger and better streams as a result. But I'm just saying, I'm not scared of that dude at all. Like, physically. He would pound me.
He would absolutely wreck.
But I'm
literally
still in for it.
He streams himself working out.
But I'm still in for it. Like, that's how not scared of him I am. Because of the outfit. Like, because of what he wore, I know I could whoop his ass.
But not physically.
Physically. All I would have to do is bring up the fit. Mid-fight. Doesn't matter if he's on top of me pounding me. He's immediately incapacitated. Winner, Bill Bolin. All right, so my favorite song off Kanye's new album, Donda. And don't worry if you're freaking, oh, God, he's going back down the Kanye rabbit hole. No, no, calm down. I'm not Kanye haters. Chill out. But my favorite song is called Back to Life. And long story short, there was a rumor that another one of my favorite artists, Tyler, the Creator, some of you may know him, was the one behind the piano keys on the song Back to Life. And it's just a splendidly beautiful piano solo that kicks off after a bit and then carries through the rest of the song. And I was super hyped about that being potentially true. I think I even spoke to being excited to see Tyler playing the keys when Kanye goes on his Donda tour at some point in some city. The video, not me being there physically. I'm not going to follow them around the country like I'm fucking a Grateful Dead fan.
You would.
Yeah, but we got like jobs and shit. Anyway, it's one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard. Back to Life. It's up there with like Kanye's Runaway for personal yay favorites of mine. Well, it turns out not only was the pianist, not Tyler the Creator. It's a child, some kid, a fucking sixth grader. This is from Complex. The Kauffman Music Center in New York City revealed this week that despite all the obvious collaborators on Kanye West's latest studio album, Donda, a few young musicians might surprise people. The center announced that sixth grader Zin Micheline Hung lent her piano skills to a private listening party rendition of the sweeping Donda cut come to life alongside three incredible pianist peers. The institution is a K-12 public school that offers music as its core subject, and clearly their students are ahead of the game alongside the revelation. The Kauffman Center posted a photo of Yeezy alongside the four young virtuosos with Hung standing on the far right. She's a sixth grader. I watched the video of her doing the song. It almost moved me to tears. When I was in sixth grade and they gave me piano lessons, I learned one song and then I quit. And that song was not used on a Kanye West album.
Or was it like Hot
Cross
Buns?
I'm a Little Teapot. It wasn't Hot Cross Buns. That's trash. It
what about
required
Chopsticks?
Some skill. Chopsticks, also trash. People who come at you with that, oh, I don't want to play Chopsticks. Dude, there are chimps who have been taught to play Chopsticks.
Chopsticks is also the worst song of all time.
Okay. Yeah, by the end of it, you're insane. This isn't a song. This is a torture device.
It is. I heard that in Guantanamo Bay, they were torturing a lot of the people they claimed to be terrorists.
By doing Chopsticks over and over and then making them participate. Now you come over and do Chopsticks with us. Look how much fun we're having. Fucking white people ruin the piano.
Chopsticks.
Come on. Anyway, pretty cool story. It also furthers the idea that Kanye is not even really like his own musician anymore. He's like this massive collaboration of other musicians. This album was way less Kanye than it was other people. I mean, Mike Dean is the co-producer on almost every single song. He locked like seven different producers in that stadium with him for weeks. And some of them forced to work for like days on end without sleep. And one of his sound check guys that we talked about, whose text messages leaked after his iCloud was hacked, meaning he leaked them himself, got fired for sleeping in one day. Because he wasn't there. Kanye texted him, where are you? Kanye texts again, you're fired. Then the guy wakes up. Oh my God, I'm so sorry, I'm on the way. And Ye says, don't bother. Don't text me again until you found God. And then there's a sixth grader on the album.
That sixth grader found God.
She might be God. Go listen to the fucking piano on that song. It's amazing. Back to Life on Kanye's album, Donda, featuring Zin Micheline Hung.
Micheline.
Kauffman Music Center in New York City. Shouts. Thanks for producing good students.
I talked about this before. We're talking about New York City, like music education. How my favorite female vocalist at the moment, Maggie Rogers, how she was discovered. I don't know if we ever, I told Ross about this because it blew my mind, how she was a student, a music student at NYU's Tisch School, I believe, where it's a, you know, very, very top end music school, produces a lot of good people in the music industry, producers, singers, etc. And how she got discovered, and now she's like one of the most famous female vocalists in America. You've heard some of her songs. If you never, if you think you've never heard of her, look up Maggie Rogers. You've heard of like Falling Water, Alaska, you know. I'm gonna love you for a long time. She was discovered because Pharrell came into the masterclass, which a masterclass is when you go, a famous person comes in and just like looks at the work from the class and like just gives their thoughts on it. And she was just selected to take part in this. Pharrell came, listened to it, and was like, there's nothing I would change about your song. Who are you?
Yeah, so they essentially had Pharrell come and sit in. Jared showed me this YouTube video. It's incredible. And Pharrell sits in on the class, small class, right? And then each student gets to perform a piece of music they've created, and then he gives them notes on it. And then you get to, you watch Maggie Rogers go up there and do, I think, the song that ends up being like her first viral hit or whatever.
Yeah. She just sits there next to him. They play it on like a loudspeaker, and she's just like, they have to like awkwardly.
She's just vibing along. Yeah, it's not exactly what you're thinking. It's not like she plays it in front of him, physically playing it or with the instruments and shit. Like, it's just her pressing play, and then they sit there, and she's like nodding her head like, please don't fry me. And you can tell from the get-go, I think she's nervous, most nervous in the video, because she already knows.
Yeah.
That's the moment, right?
Like, yeah.
She had to have known at some point in her life there was going to be an opportunity to do something with music because she was talented enough. When you're sitting there next to Pharrell, probably one of the more equipped humans on the planet to gift you a music career, or not gift you, but help you along the way. And then he just is blown away by her song. And it's just a really cool video. You're right.
Check it out. YouTube. Maggie Rogers and Pharrell.
Maggie Rogers. This episode of RBP is also brought to you by Liquid IV. The hot summer months are on the way out, but that doesn't mean we don't need to stay hydrated and fueled up. We want to stay healthy, obviously, all winter long, which is why we have the hydration multiplier with immune support from Liquid IV. I have one of those at least every day. One stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates faster and more efficiently than water alone. I know a lot of you don't drink enough water. It can be one of those things where you're so busy throughout the day, you forget, don't have time. By the end of the day, you realize, holy crap, I'm really dehydrated. And guess what? Being dehydrated is not good. Your body and brain don't work as well when you're dehydrated. Not only does Liquid IV make sure that you stay hydrated, the products taste great. They got flavors like watermelon, strawberry, lemon and lime. Phenomenal. Jared and I are huge fans.
Pina colada. Oh. Tastes like a pina colada. Non-alcoholic, of course. You can drink it during the workday, which
it's
you should.
It's delicious.
Because you don't drink enough water during the workday. I'm looking at you, you.
Yeah, you. Drink more.
Drink water right now, and drink Liquid IV after you buy it with promo code Ross for 25%
off. Yeah, use the code Ross when you go to liquidiv.com, 25% off. You can get Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, too. But order online, 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Ross at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code Ross at liquidiv.com. I have one before a run usually. A lot of the time at the beginning of the day, if we're doing two shows in the day, I don't have as much time to drink water. I can't just be sipping water the whole time we're in here talking.
This is not health advice, but personally, whenever I am hungover, Liquid IV, I like to drink when I get back from the bar so that I wake up and I don't have a hangover. Works for me personally.
Nice.
I also have used it to prevent altitude sickness when I go to Colorado and I'm 5 miles up in the air.
That's a big one, man. When people go on like skiing vacations this winter, especially if you're not used to being at high altitude, you have to drink a ton of water to stay hydrated. And Liquid IV can help you with that. Like I said, like three times the hydration. If you pour a little stick of Liquid IV into that drink of water and it's going to taste even better, why wouldn't you go to liquidiv.com today and use the code Ross 25% off, Jared?
Fun fact about last time I went and played disc golf, it's extremely hot in Austin right now. Well, it has been.
It's cooling down a little.
It's cooling down, but it has been really hot, right? And I only had one water bottle with me. It's a big water bottle, probably like a 32-ounce one. But like, I was like, damn, like that. I realistically would want to have two of these if I'm playing around at disc golf because it's a lot of walking. It's also very mountainous terrain, like I'm hiking and stuff, pulling a very large cart that contains my discs on it.
Mountainous.
What I did though.
The hardest trek ever made by man up the mountainous disc golf course in Austin, Texas.
What I did with my 132-ounce water bottle, poured one stick of Liquid IV in it, lasted the entire round. It was fine.
It's a miracle.
Yep.
Code Ross, 25% off, liquidiv.com. Next segment, fuck Facebook. So in another story that continues the villainous saga of Mark Zuckerberg and his once-loved social media, Facebook, From the Daily Mail, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg resisted making changes to the social network's algorithm, even though his engineers were telling him that it was promoting divisive content and damaging the public's mental health. It has been reported. Internal documents obtained by the Wall Street Journal indicate that Facebook employees were worried that the algorithm was promoting content that made users angrier and more likely to argue about politics or race. The internal memos seen by the Wall Street Journal also indicated that Facebook officials were made aware that Instagram was toxic for young girls who struggled with body image issues. Facebook was also found to have been running a secret whitelist, which shielded celebrities, politicians, and other VIPs from enforcement of its guidelines, even if they spread harmful and malicious content that would get others banned. The algorithm, which was introduced in 2018 after internal data showed a decline in user engagement, gave people incentive to post negative comments that sparked a reaction and debate. Those who reacted with negative emojis like angry faces would be rewarded by an internal point system that led to the content gaining more prominence on people's news feeds, according to the journal. The algorithm also gave increased weight and prominence to posts that were widely reshared, spreading not just to users who were known to the original poster, but to others beyond their circle. Zuckerberg did not want to alter the algorithm, which was overhauled months earlier in order to boost, quote, meaningful social interactions, end quote, because he was worried about data that indicated users were engaging less with the platform. Earlier this week, the journal revealed that Facebook officials were aware that young girls were being harmed by exposure to Instagram, but continued to add beauty editing filters to the app, despite 6% of suicidal girls in America blaming it for their desire to kill themselves.
That's not great.
Money over morals, engagement over everything. Anything that gets a reaction is good if you're Facebook. That's essentially their policy. And Jared and I have worked on the internet for a long time, so we know a lot about how this works. We also used to work on a company and brand, the main brand of the company anyway, of which was pretty toxic in terms
of... We would sometimes post stuff that we knew would get a negative reaction, more so in the beginning.
Oh, I meant our fans were trash.
Oh, and the fans were trash.
Like, I would write a column for 4.5 hours and put it up, and then there'd be like 36 comments telling me to go kill myself, and then it was the worst thing they've ever read, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And the internet in general, for years, has become like more and more toxic. But one of the things that became very clear through mediums like Twitter was that if you post a negative, arguments breed engagement, right? Nothing is more divisive than things like politics and religion. So nothing breeds more comments and engagement and therefore time spent on Facebook and therefore more ad dollars for Mark Zuckerberg in the end. So basically what they figured out at Facebook, and this is to put it in plain terms, was that their platform and the algorithm running it was destroying the social fabric of our country. And Zuckerberg didn't want to change that because he was worried about engagement going down. What that means is Zuckerberg didn't want to make less money for his advertisers. So he didn't want to institute positive changes to the platform that could save lives. It makes him pure evil. It makes him what everybody's joked about him being for over a decade. It's definitive proof to me that this man doesn't give a shit about anybody else except his board members and his stockholders and the numbers at the end of the year. And to have that proof, it's tough because these guys own Instagram too. And for us, it's like our business runs on these platforms. Like, we rely on Instagram for exposure, for downloads, for... Like, and that's one of the things. It's like, then I feel like we become part of this fucking trash system. And it's one of the reasons I can't stand social media, because every decision that's made about all my favorite platforms isn't about improving user experience or making the world a better place. It's about money and nothing else ever. Even when they're shown proof that their fucking product is causing little girls to kill themselves. They don't care. That's crazy. And just like with our politicians, the only way to hold guys like Zuckerberg responsible is to educate each other on what they're doing. That's it. So that's the only reason this segment exists today. I don't have any fun jokes or cool, quippy, fucking clever things to say. It's just straight up, fuck Facebook. They don't care. And Zuck sucks.
Zuckerberg!
Zuckerberg! Seriously, though, that dude. And if you've got kids and they're on Facebook, they do have a shit... They've done all these things to make Facebook safer, but a lot of them require you as a parent to actually go in and figure out all this shit. Go do it. Spend the time. Same thing with YouTube. Because these internet companies, and I'm being real honest, they do not care about us. It's just about money for most of them. And so they will put things in front of your children and in front of you that you don't need to see. So be wary. And just only listen to RBP.
Be happy. Be horny. Be something with rage. What is it?
With what?
Be happy. Be horny. Be something with rage. We've got a million different ways to engage.
Oh, you're doing Bo Burnham's... Yeah,
but I forgot the word.
Welcome to the internet.
But yeah, well, listen to that. After hearing that segment and after finishing the episode, maybe listen to the same episode 5 times to bring our numbers up.
Yeah, sure.
Go listen to Welcome to the Internet, and it literally is essentially talking about this entire segment.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but in layman's terms, that's how it works. Their engagement levels and advertising dollars are more important than what their product does to us in their eyes, which is not good. Mm-hmm. Not good at all. But this episode of RBP is also brought to you by Four Sigmatic, a wellness company that is well known for its delicious mushroom coffee. Jared and I have been starting our day with Four Sigmatic's ground mushroom coffee with lion's mane instead of regular coffee because it's just better. All their products at Four Sigmatic are organic, vegan, and gluten-free. Plus, every single batch is third-party lab tested to ensure its purity and safety, so you know you're getting the highest quality coffee and mushrooms possible. And the mushroom coffee is easier on your gut. It's easier on my gut. Doesn't leave me with that awful jittery feeling or midday crash. Tastes just as good as the coffee I love. It brews dark and nutty. Tastes incredible. Doesn't taste like mushroom coffee would be expected to taste at all, frankly. It's delicious.
Tastes like coffee. I've had it many, many times. I can tell you, you don't taste... If you don't like mushrooms, that doesn't mean you're not going to like this. The mushrooms are not there for flavor. You can't even taste them. They're there for the benefits of the mushroom being in the coffee.
Right. And if you're one of those people who often notices that coffee is very upsetting for your tummy, dude, give Four Sigmatic a try. It's amazing. They have over 20,000 five-star reviews. Best of all, Four Sigmatic backs their products with a 100% money-back guarantee. Love every sip or get your money back. We've worked out an exclusive offer with Four Sigmatic on their best-selling mushroom coffee just for the Ross Bolin podcast. Listeners, get up to 40% off plus free shipping on mushroom coffee bundles by going to foursigmatic.com/RBP. FOURSIGMATIC, foursigmatic.com/RBP. This offer is just for the RBP gang, not available on their regular website. So save up to 40% and get free shipping.
When you go right now to
foursigmatic.com/RBP and fuel your productivity and creativity with some delicious mushroom coffee.
It's become trendy to, you know, like drink slight coffee alternatives. I would say this is a coffee alternative. It's coffee, but like it's better for you than coffee, you know?
Sure, Jared. Sure. Last week, Jared and I came up with the idea to get a new sign on College Game Day as we reminisced on our the time that the OG logo, my third mugshot, made College Game Day. And another time we got like a trash hashtag RBP gang sign on as well. So we wanted to make it a third time. Jared came up with the idea for My Wife Left Me. And I was like, well, we want it to translate to the show, though, and be like, we needed the marketing scheme to make sense for RBP. So I was like, what if it's Ross Bolin's wife left
Ross, him? You just told that story completely backwards.
Was it the reverse?
Yes. You said my wife left me, and I said Ross Bolin's wife left him.
Okay,
I need
for
to give myself the due credit.
I hope it's the reverse.
It's not.
Okay. We didn't think it would happen. Like, I didn't expect in the first several weeks of the season to have a shot, really. Like, it's one of those things where you think it's easier than it is. Not only do you have to get up stupid early to get to a spot at most of the College Game Day setups to where you'd be able to be seen, but it's also just a very silly-ass sign. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if anybody's actually going to want to roll with a sign that says Ross Bolin's wife left him To me, it's hilarious, but I'm a 34-year-old man. Who knows? So I wake up Saturday morning around 7:30 in the morning, and I'm like, you know, just laying there half dead. And I'm like, where is game day today? And I Google it, and I see it's in Happy Valley at Penn State. And I was like, ah, damn, I don't know if Penn State is the school that pulls through here. I won't lie. I doubted. I was filled with doubt. And then my phone started blowing up around 8:30. Ethan Stilley is the name of our hero. Huge shouts, because I turned on the television and sure enough, front and center, directly to the left of Lee Corso's head, was a giant white sign that said, Ross Bolin's wife left him. I got like 4,000 text messages that day. But for real, the first one I got was actually from Dave Ruff of the Circling Back podcast, one of our friends here on the show. And when I saw the picture, bro, I laughed for like 20 minutes straight. Like, it's one of the hardest laughs I've ever had in my life, just because of the absurdity of the situation. And then I pictured my former father-in-law on his couch trying to enjoy what was probably like his spiked morning coffee, and seeing that sign, and it just brought tears of joy to my eyes. It was a fucking hilarious moment. So Ethan, seriously, that was amazing. He totally failed to get any photos of his own, by the way. I hit him. I'm like, dude, do you have any pictures from like the day? Like, no. He's like, I don't think we do. It's like, what the fuck? Ethan, do you understand what you've done? You pulled off the funniest marketing moment in my career. That's over a decade. And you didn't even take pics for yourself. He was just like, let's fucking do it. Probably got out there at like 6 a.m. I don't know. We're going to get his story.
Yeah. We need to have him call into the show and tell us the story, because like you said, to get that, he was like literally front row. You have to get there at like 4 a.m. You can't even sleep the night before if you want to get there front row.
He was right there, man. He was right there. I kept waiting. It was like, it was funny enough to me. And here's the thing. They'll go around game day and they show all the clever signs, and they're mostly very obvious, like either memes that have already been done on the internet or like very school specific jokes.
Auburn can't read.
And it's like, okay. Yeah. Like,
come on.
Y'all are in college, and this is the best shit you could come up with, the highest level of learning in our country. And this is, y'all have trash signs. They're usually really bad. They are. By comparison, this was the best sign there. And I looked for 3 hours. Like, I soaked this in. And it was to the point where I was like, dude, one of these guys might say something about this sign. Like, because it's ridiculous enough. And I was thinking through it this weekend. I was like, so we did it. Like, we accomplished this. We did not. This was within a week of us putting up the clip on social media from the podcast, so that it could be distributed enough to maybe have a shot, right? And it happened. And I'm like, well, do we do it again? And after thinking through it, there isn't something funnier. There isn't.
Yeah.
And it's even funnier if it keeps showing up.
Like, every game day?
It's way, way funnier if again next week on game day, the sign is there. And that by like week 7, people are like, okay, what the hell is the deal with Ross Bolin and his wife, his ex-wife? What happened?
Is Ethan Stilley going to travel to, actually, I believe College Game Day is in Chicago at Soldier Field for the Wisconsin-Notre Dame game this week.
Ethan, you can make that trek, bro.
It's not that far, Ethan.
I'll pay for your gas.
You're a Big Ten fan, so go watch this Big Ten and Notre Dame matchup.
Do it again, Ethan. I'll pay for your gas. I'll pay for your game ticket.
Oh, no, you won't.
If it's under $300. Why? How much are game tickets?
It's at Soldier Field, and it is Wisconsin-Notre Dame. I think the tickets right now are like over $500. Last I heard. Maybe you can get in the door nosebleeds for like scout for like 200. It's one of the more expensive.
Jesus, really?
It's one of the more expensive tickets you're ever going to see. It's in Chicago, which has a bunch of really
not
rich
that you're ever going to see
Notre Dame and Wisconsin fans in Chicago. It's a noted home.
I'm seeing a lot of tickets for under $200 on StubHub here, J-Bone.
Okay.
A lot of them. Yeah, dude. You can get into this game.
Okay, Ethan.
Ethan, don't be a pussy. Drive up to Chicago. If it's under $300, I'll pay for your ticket. I'll pay for your gas both ways. Get the sign back on it. It's worth it easy, bro. But anybody else who gets it on, and for Ethan already, I got his mailing address. We're going to send him a ton of RBP gear to say thank you because it was so funny and such a cool moment. We appreciate y'all, but especially Ethan for getting it done. And anybody else gets it done at Soldier Field, same deal applies. Not the gas money and the pay for your ticket and all that. That's only for Ethan. Same deal applies in terms of the merch, though. You get the sign up, we'll definitely send you a care package to say thank you. So, yeah. All-time RBP moment. Probably a top five moment in the history of the show. And one of the funniest set. Like, in a weekend that was rough for me, honestly, just needed it. Beautiful. Thank you, Ethan, for the laughs. That one is going to be... I'm still getting... Like, my realtor commented on my social media, like, cold. And what's funny is I'm like, does he think it's cold like I got burned?
A lot of people, I noticed that too. There's a lot of people who think that...
That this is a diss.
Yeah. There's people now who think that you wanted to get something funny on and a fan went rogue and then said that.
Like, I don't think they're thinking it that far. I think they just think a fan went rogue or somebody who doesn't like me and are holding the sign up, which is kind of even funnier to me. Like,
yeah, that if that
I'm not explaining it to anybody. And one of the comments I saw was like, God, I need to know how many people came up to him. Because remember I said, if anybody asks you to explain it, tell him, mind your business. And somebody in comments was like, I need to know how many people he told to mind his business. Ethan, how many people did you tell to mind your business? Call us, 888-WR-BULL, and I'll also DM you again so that I can make sure when you do call, I can pull it so we can play it on the show. But yeah, we'll hear more from Ethan. I want to hear his story about how he got it done, why the hell he didn't take any pictures himself. Because we would have put him everywhere and tagged him.
Oh, yeah.
If you do this, if you pull this off, fuck. If you make the sign and don't get it on game day, but you're there and somehow it doesn't get shown, like, we'll still put up the pictures of you holding the sign at game day. So, like, definitely take the sign to game day if you're on a campus that has it. We're not changing it.
Nope. Ross Bolin's wife left
him. This is it for the season. Same sign all season long, 2021 college football. If you want to get it on, like, Barstool game day too, that's fine with me. Just as long as it's game day,
Or the Fox one. It's Fox Game Day Morning or whatever it's called.
They have one too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, just the game day shows.
But it cannot be in the same screen as Clay Travis, please.
No, if it has anything to do with Clay Travis, we will not post it. We will do the opposite of send you gear. We will actually send you a bill requesting money for putting our joke sign on a trash program. Do not do that. Thank you. Speaking of sports, this Saturday, there will be blood. Head to mybookie.ag. Get in on the UFC first blood promotion. When any fighter on the card bleeds, you win.
This is not a real promotion.
I'm not joking. I'm not joking. Listen to this. Listen to this. The second you see blood, you get paid.
What?
With this bet centered around five main card bouts. Okay, this bet. It includes two title fights. So you know the Octagon won't stay dry for long. Take advantage of this opportunity. Make some easy money with my bookie. Nick Diaz has bled in three of his last four fights, and Robbie Lawler is a leaky faucet. So you know by the end of his fifth round rematch, blood will be spilled. Jared, head to our sports betting sponsor, mybookie.ag now. Use the promo code RBP to start off with a double deposit bonus. That means whatever you put in, they will double it. Stipulations apply. That's promo code RBP to double your money so you can double your winnings at MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, and that's not all. If you deposit now, you'll also get a free entry into MyBookie's $50,000 NFL Survivor Pool. That's a double deposit bonus, free money to root for blood on UFC, and a free shot at 50 grand. That's what I call winning season. Okay. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag, use the code RBP to support the podcast, get that double deposit bonus and more through the rest of the week. This specific promotion, if you want to get in on this blood betting...
bloodbath.
There will be blood, root for blood situation. It ends September 26th, so get in there, mybookie.ag, use the code RBP, double your deposit today, there will be blood.
If you've never followed through on one of our MyBookie reads, surely this has to be the one
that makes
you do
it. If you bet on sports and you want to support the pod, what better way to do it? You're already betting on sports. Bet on mybookie.ag instead. Use the code RBP, get the double deposit bonus, and then root for blood.
The Diaz brothers are well known for being the two leakiest brothers in MMA history. So surely...
Robbie Lawler is a leaky faucet.
That's what they say about him.
That's what they say. Everybody says that about Robbie Lawler.
What a
bitch.
That
he's a leaky faucet. Can't stop bleeding. I've abandoned my boy. I've abandoned my child. On a random note, speaking of children, the baby is now to be known as the child. like Baby Yoda on The Mandalorian officially, because she's like too tall. Doesn't, if I call her the baby, it's ridiculous. It's like she's like 3 fucking feet tall. I copped her first pair of Yeezys.
You never even bought me a pair of Yeezys. This is bullshit.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jared, but the love is different there. And I got her some of the slides, like the little, I think there's $30 retail, right? But you can't get them because bots, and the sneaker game in 2021 is somehow more toxic than Facebook. But I paid resale. I won't say what I paid. It doesn't matter. It's not important. And I made this happen because I wanted them. And they're like, for her. And they're like, you know, an eight children's little neon yellow Yeezy slide. And it's the fucking cutest thing I've ever seen. I put up some like pictures of in my Instagram story at WR Bolin on Instagram. If you get in there quickly, you might be able to see them still. But anyway, I just wanted to let everybody know that I have passed this disease successfully on to the next generation. Everything is going to be fine. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big shouts again to Nathan Stilley at Penn State.
Ethan,
not Nathan. Ethan Stilley.
You've been watching too much Ted Lasso.
I have, which cleaned up at the Emmys last night, I might add, which I didn't get to watch because I didn't want to be bored. And also, I was scared of spoilers. I'm not done with season 2 of Ted Lasso yet, and I know something horrendously heartbreaking is coming, and I didn't want to have any more of an idea what it was. I already have sort of an idea. I'm not going to say anything spoiler-free. By the way, if you love TV and film the way that I do, I'm obsessed with television. We've been doing a TV and film podcast for a few years now. Maybe 4 or 5 years. I don't really know.
Long time.
Since season 6 of Game of Thrones. It's called Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. It started out as just a Game of Thrones show. It was the number one Game of Thrones podcast in the world. And then after Game of Thrones ended, we pivoted to all of TV and film. And my good friend of like 20 years, Barrett Dudley, and I, every week we sit down, we discuss what we're watching, and we tell you what the best TV and movies available on streaming and otherwise are right now. So,
what's it called?
Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. And that is our amazing, incredibly hype theme song for OCC, as we call it. So yeah, subscribe, listen, enjoy wherever you listen to RBP. Get in there. Also, we have a new podcast called Banging the Can.
Banging the Can.
Banging the Can. It's our Houston sports podcast.
Your?
My Houston sport. Ours at Bolin Media.
True.
After 10 years... In media. And as I said on the show, I think for most people who know me very well, when I started my job in online media straight out of college, they figured it wouldn't be long before I had some kind of Houston sports blog or podcast or something, and it never happened. It was just one of those things where, like, I felt like the space was occupied. And the more I've looked around the past couple years especially, the more I was like, yo, nobody is doing this properly for Houston. A lot of other cities have phenomenal representation when it comes to sports coverage with, like, entertainment value, right? We got great radio guys. Great radio guys in Houston. A lot of good ones. Sean Pendergast is incredible, but there's many. But the radio is the radio, man, and that's mostly for the old heads. Like, for the younger people, for people younger than me, we don't listen to the fucking radio as much anymore, bro. You got to have a podcast. You need a podcast with your Houston sports coverage, and now you do have one.
Oh, you do.
It's called Banging the Can.
Bang.
Yeah. So, get in there. Subscribe on, or follow. It's no longer called subscribe. I fucking hate Apple so much. It's
did
nearly
Apple
as much as I hate
also?
Facebook. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So follow on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, preferably Spotify, because I like them more than Apple, and because it was, the episode went up probably 6 hours earlier on Spotify than it did on Apple Podcasts, for example. So the first episode that was, Banging the Can, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Enjoy. Who is going to be next? It was Ethan Stilley this week. Who's it going to be this next weekend? Who's going to be the hero, Jared?
It could be Ethan if he takes your offer.
Take it, Ethan. Anything else you want to discuss before we head out today?
The knee. So I've been on my, you know, I'm the son of a doctor. So
you're still wearing the Mueller, I see.
I self-prescribed myself a regimen. Rest, NSAID pain relievers.
This is for to recover from the knee, the unknown knee injury that you're refusing to see a doctor to diagnose.
Well, I do know because I'm the son of a doctor and I've self-diagnosed. I have the requisite training passed down to me from my father.
Yeah, it's a genetic thing.
It is.
Whatever he learned, sons of doctors know this, but whatever your dad learned, if you're the son of a doctor, it doesn't apply to daughters. all of that knowledge passes directly to you so that you do have the ability to self-diagnose something like a knee injury or, say, scabies on your ball sack.
Yes, it's stepbrothers, you know, it's the family business.
Yeah, it's a house of learned doctors.
Yeah, so I will say this, Ross. Right now, if it still hurts, I will go seek a specialist. You know, I'm a regular son of a doctor, but I'll seek the son of a specialist. Actually, I'm going to seek out the son of a specialist if my knee continues to hurt throughout the week, because it's free, as you know. I don't want to pay.
So step one, self-diagnose as the son of a doctor, wear a Mueller for a month. Step two, seek out the son of a specialist for a second opinion.
Yes.
Continue to wear a Mueller.
Mm-hmm.
Step three, what comes next after that?
Nothing.
There is no step three.
The son of the specialist, as the son of a specialist, will know exactly what to do.
Yeah, you're right. There is a 0.0% chance that the son of a specialist doesn't have all of the knowledge he needs to fix your entire knee.
I mean, yeah, he specializes in knees, I guess. I'm just going to seek out the son of any specialist, to be honest.
You know, when you see, like, you're watching an NBA game and they'll be like, Russell Westbrook recently back from injury. He's probably at about 70% today, John. What would you say, like, health percentage-wise that you're operating at with your Mueller on?
Probably like 69.
Nice. I'd say that's above average.
It is.
You may not even need the son of a specialist.
Yeah, to be honest. Oh, sorry, it's way too much.
Well, you're just putting your big-ass foot right next, just right at me.
I'm giving some toes.
Is it on camera? Dude, what's wrong with you? Put that. It's actually, I'll be honest with you, Jared, when I think of the bottom of your feet, and for those of you who aren't watching, you can't see that Jared just put his bare foot, he's not wearing shoes, inexplicably, bare foot up at my face, and the bottom of your feet are shockingly clean compared to what I would have expected.
What do you think, I'm just walking around in dirt?
Quite literally, yes.
I actually really don't like when I have dirt on my feet. Sometimes I wear my Birkenstocks to the dog park, and the dog park is all dirt, and I get dirt in my shoes.
Oh, you mean your Birkenstocks that have barnacles growing on them? I was about to go in there and scrape them off the other day like it's a fucking old boat.
They're not barnacles.
You mean those sometimes get your feet dirty? There's shit growing on this man's sandals.
They're not growing. I think it's paint. I think I left them in my fraternity house when they were painting the wall.
Oh, yeah?
In white paint.
You mean 7 years ago when you were in college? Why the fuck do you still own those shoes? And Jared, even if it started as paint, whatever it is now is something else. It's grown and adapted, evolved beyond its original form.
They're not barnacles.
This is like a Venom situation. You don't understand how much danger you're in. It's going to take over your body.
Like the brain slugs in Futurama, I'm just going to have my feet controlling me. That's the worst part. You don't want your feet controlling you because they can take you wherever.
This fucking episode, what did we even talk about? Mancock Road, Nick Merck's trying to fight me on the internet, and not really, just me wanting to fight him in general in person. Kanye enlisting a sixth grader to play piano, a long, serious rant about the problems with social media. We managed to get Ross Boland's wife left him sign on college game day. And then we have a sponsor that is literally encouraging you to root for humans to bleed. How do you not like this show? How do you not tell your friends and family about this podcast? It's just beyond me. Share the show with everyone you love and know.
If you need sharing points, number one, you could say, oh my God, I just heard the craziest ad read of all time. That's one. Number two, you could say, oh yeah, this podcast that I listened to just had a sign about the host's wife leaving him front and center on college game day. You can hear the story right here.
Bingo bango. There's your selling points for this week.
Or there's a guy who might get his ass beat by Nick Merckx.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I'm rooting for it, but also in the back of my mind, I'm like, God, I'm 34 years old. Do I really want to get my ass kicked again?
When's the last time you got your ass beat? Like, I'm talking
high
like,
school, man. I somehow got through all of college without, like, a beating. I deserved several, but, like, I thought when I was growing up, watching like John Wayne movies and shit, I thought fist fights would be like a pretty regular part of adult life. Like you'd have to throw down with some degree of regularity, like maybe a couple times a year at least, you know? I haven't been in a fist fight since I was fucking 16.
I just realized something. Why is every like synonym for fighting also a synonym for jerking off? Beating, spanking, pounding,
throwing down. Cranking? Oh, that one doesn't work.
No. Have you ever thought about that? Like, fighting? You know what? Jerking off kind of is a fight.
Yeah, it's a fight with yourself. An internal fight. For some, it's very internal.
And you got to lose to win.
And then that crushing sadness that sweeps over you afterwards. It's just the best. Jared and I will be back on Wednesday right here with another episode of RBP. And then, of course, on Friday, like we are every Friday, with an ad-free exclusive edition, brand new episode with no ads, more unhinged, and even more blood and cum than usual on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast to support the show with a minimum pledge of $5 a month. We've got over 1,100 people on there supporting us right now. We appreciate y'all. We're trying desperately to get to 2,000 by the end of the year, which is going to require a miracle of God. So we would appreciate it, God, if you're listening, if you could get in there and fucking help Jared and I out, because we're busting ass over here, man. We are busting ass. We love y'all, though. We love especially those of you who are already on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Look out for the next episode of Banging the Can this week. Look out for more Formula Bone coming soon. We've got a lot of developments happening in the world of F1 with Jared and Formula Bone.
I'm officially going to the United States Grand Prix in October.
He has secured tickets to the United States Grand Prix next month here in Austin, which will bring live coverage on Formula Bone as well. So if you're an F1 fan, at Formula Bone on TikTok, on Instagram, on Twitter, for the F1 coverage you've always wanted and needed in your life, Jared. Always. See y'all soon. You will hear me soon. Goodbye.
Go low, baby.